named Trouble and Shut Up. And Trouble and Shut Up were playing in the backyard, and they heard the ice cream truck coming down the street. Some of the kids don't know what that is today, but it was a sound of joy in my childhood. And they heard the ice cream truck coming down the street, and they came running from the backyard, waving their nickel in the air, and the ice cream truck stopped, and Trouble gave the man his nickel and got an ice cream cone. And when he turned around, the top fell off into the sidewalk, and he turned and was upset, and Shut Up was paying for his, and Trouble reached over and grabbed Shut Up's ice cream cone and went running away with it. And Shut Up was screaming, "Come back, Trouble, Trouble, come back." But surely Trouble turned the corner and disappeared, and Shut Up was angry. He was stomping his feet and shaking his fist, and a policeman turned the corner in his police car and sees this display on the corner, and he pulls over and he says, "Son, what's your name?" He said, "Shut up." He said, "Son, I asked you, what's your name?" He said, "Shut up." He said, "Son, are you looking for trouble?" He said, "I sure am. He's got my ice cream cone." Now, sometimes we go looking for trouble, and sometimes trouble just finds us, doesn't it? Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." I think most of us can relate with that verse. In John chapter 16, verse 20, the Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Down in verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Psalm 37 verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself," don't worry, "because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And then I'd be amiss if I didn't give Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Sometimes trouble just finds us. Now, let me tell you, in the life of a Christian, you're either entering into a storm of trouble, or you're exiting from a storm of trouble, or you're in the midst of a storm of trouble. Maybe you're here and you haven't had any trouble for several months, and I want to salute you. That's great. I hope it stays that way, but it probably will not. You'll probably encounter some type of problem, issues, situation, trouble. But let me encourage you to take your sorrow and your trouble to the Lord. You know, our troubles bring sorrow to us. It brings loneliness to us. It brings sometimes illness and affliction to us. We have great disappointments in this world. As we celebrated the homegoing of Mrs. Pullen yesterday, all her trouble and all her sorrows, all her difficulties are over. She's with the Lord. The Bible gives us several examples of godly men, wonderful people God used and God thought much of that had great trouble in their life. Obviously, we have to mention Joseph. The Bible says in Genesis 39, verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. All Joseph did was decide to keep his morality. He lost his coat, but didn't lose his purity. He lost his coat, but didn't lose his integrity. He lost his coat, but he didn't lose his testimony. And for that, he found great trouble." Sometimes we find trouble serving the Lord, doing what is right. Jeremiah was giving a message. He's known as the weeping prophet because his message was rejected. And in Jeremiah 37, verse 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison." Here's a man of God who has a message from God, who was preaching what God told him to preach. It had such great rejection that he said, I'm not going to mention his name anymore. I'm not going to preach this anymore. But he said later, but it burned within my bones and I could not stay. And they took Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I don't believe he was weeping because he was in prison. I think he was weeping because his message was rejected and the judgment of God was coming on Israel. We think of Peter, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, I'm getting a little bit nervous because all these preachers are in prison. I wonder where that's going to lead to us, huh? And he was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. Peter was thrown in the prison because Herod saw it pleased the Jews. And then we can't not mention Job. The Bible speaks about Job. Job, who the devil came to God, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, well, you've got a protection around him. It's comforting to know that God has a protection around his children. He says, you've blessed him. He's a wealthy man. He has 10 wonderful children. He's got a wonderful wife. He's blessed. And he said, let me have my way, and I will make him curse your name. And God said, do what you will, but don't take his life and don't touch his soul. And we find Job, he loses his family, he loses his finances, he loses his friends, and he loses his fitness as he's sitting in sackcloth and ashes covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And yet he says in chapter 13 of Job, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. What he's saying is, I'm going to trust God, and I'm not moving from my position or what I believe God. You see, Job was overwhelmed with great distress. His faith was so firmly established in the truth that God is sovereign and nothing that could happen to him in his life could happen unless God would allow it and without God's gracious permission. And with that, we have the verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now, the Lord could have prevented Job's trouble as well as Jeremiah's and Peter's and ours as well. But the Lord could prevent our troubles as well. But he does not do so because there's a bigger lesson that he wants us to get. He wants us to learn about trouble. He wants us to learn to trust him where we cannot understand the whys of what he's doing and dealing with us. Now, there's three fruits of trouble. Let me tell you what they are. First of all, trouble energizes. Trouble stirs up our complacency. We get complacent. We get comfortable in our nest. But then trouble comes and it stirs our nest. Trouble energizes us. It stirs us out of our complacency. Trouble clarifies. Trouble gives us a vision of what's truly important. For instance, you're driving and you get a speeding ticket. That's some trouble. But your wife comes home and said, the doctor found a lump today. Now you know how to pray, don't you? Trouble clarifies what's important, what really matters, what really counts. And then trouble magnifies. It doesn't only energize and clarifies, it magnifies. It magnifies our weaknesses that are revealed while God's power is revealed to us and he is glorified. And this is why Paul says to the Romans in Romans 8:28, and we know, this is an absolute, we understand, we know, all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, allow your trouble to make you a better person. Trouble does several things. First of all, let me say that trouble, that God uses trouble to direct us. You think, can God use trouble to direct us? He surely does. He has. He tells us in Proverbs 21, verse 29, a wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his ways. God gives us direction through our trouble. I know that as we voted as a church some years ago to sell our facilities on the south side of town and to build new here, we had several troubles. We had a lot of different things, a lot of different hoops to jump through, a lot of red tape. And we just didn't know how in the world it was going to come about. Many times we meet with the deacons, and it was always discouraging. We weren't sure how to go about things. But God always led us. He gave us direction through that trouble. Trouble can often direct us back to the Bible. Isn't that true? We've gone a little bit distance, and maybe our hearts aren't callous, but we are distant from God, and then trouble comes. The other night, I was in my chair after midnight, and I was reading the Bible, and God spoke to me in a great way. And trouble often directs us to the Bible. It directs us to be on our knees. It directs us to prayer. I think it often directs us to Psalms, doesn't it? And we read the Psalms, and we're in the Word of God. We're on our knees. And I think trouble brings more of a fervency to us to seek God and to please Him. God uses trouble to direct us. God uses trouble to motivate us to inspect ourselves. Can I tell you this? Usually it's not the devil and it's not the world. It's our own sorry self that got us there. Your name may not be trouble, and I hope it's not shut up. But I will tell you this, sometimes we go looking for trouble. And God will use trouble to motivate us to look within. And I think I can honestly say that when trouble comes, the first thing I do is look inside and say, God, what is it? See, James chapter 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, that's mature, and entire, wanting nothing. Our trouble can often reveal who we are. The other day, I was getting a soda out of the refrigerator, and it slipped out of my hands. It didn't hit the floor, but I juggled it a few times, before it hit. And I came in and sat down in my nice chair by the table, and I didn't think about it. I know what can happen, but I thought, well, enough time has passed, and you know what happened. And let me say that when trouble comes, it shakes us up. And what's in us comes out of us. We spew out what's in us. And sometimes it's not good. Our trouble can reveal who we are. Job 23 verse 10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Our trouble can break us. Our trouble can tender us. Our trouble has a way of knocking the pride and the arrogancy right out of us. God uses trouble. I've seen some pretty cocky people, especially looking in the mirror. I've seen some pretty arrogant people. I've seen some people who are up, as my mama would say, up on their high horse. And then trouble came. And I've seen them humble themselves before God. And God give them a soft and tender heart and do a work in their life. And truly, he took something that was a tragedy and he calls that person to inspect, to reflect on their inner person and humble them greatly. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of James, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And let me tell you, if we don't do that, God has a way of humbling us. And our humbling can go from being humble to humility if we let God work into our lives, or humiliation. Notice, trouble will direct us. Trouble can motivate us to inspect ourselves. God uses trouble to correct us. Psalm 119, verse 71 and 72. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn from statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The psalmist says that this trouble has corrected me. I was on the wrong path. I remember one time many years ago in particular, I was driving and God was dealing with me and God was talking to me. Does God talk to you? Amen. Are you with me? You know, God speaks to me, and sometimes if I'm riding the John Deere, God will be dealing my heart, and I'll start weeping, and I try to do that in the backyard so the neighbors won't see in the front yard. That might be a little bit of pride involved there, but I don't want my neighbors to think I'm crazy. And I was driving down the road, and God began to deal with me, and it was dealing with some things that I didn't feel like that was just or was fair. And I just said, I am not going to do that. And as soon as I said that, I sensed the quenching of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, God whipped me. God chastened me. I found trouble. And I told my wife, Debbie, this is God's chastening on me. He spoke to me about something and I refused. I put my foot down and refused to do it. Who are we to put our foot down on Almighty God? You see, the psalmist says, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. And from that point, I have yielded myself and I have let the way of the Lord take control. Trouble, I said, it directs us. It motivates us to inspect ourselves. It will correct us. And then let me tell you, God allows trouble to protect us. In the life of Joseph, we see how his brothers threw him in the pit, talked about murdering him, sold him into slavery, was bought in Egypt, and then was falsely accused, thrown into prison. We see all of this, but Joseph says in Genesis 50, verse 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God, you know, we need to see God in our trouble. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He realized that all that he went through so that one day he could save the children of Israel. Now, this trouble protects us, and we won't know. I often think as we travel, and there was a situation where we were greatly delayed, and as we came, we were coming back actually from Rochester, New York. We were driving back, and we finally got through Kentucky and made the turn on I-40, and we didn't get quite out of Nashville that there was a terrible collision. And finally, we exited off and went to a restaurant and ate and thought by this time it'd be cleared up, but it wasn't cleared up for hours. We took the back roads an alternate way. I mean, we went over bridges and creeks and had to go through a couple of hollers and it took us a while. But when we got home, that jam was still there. And I just praise the Lord that although we were delayed and we're behind time, God protected us. We could have been in that terrible crash. God's trouble, it protects us. Let me say that God's trouble, it perfects us. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, let me help you with something. Never pray for patience. But our trouble can just exhaust us to where we begin to develop patience. I am a very impatient person. Do I have a witness out there? I do not go to theme parks. I'm not standing in line for nothing. I never have liked the restaurants where you're like cattle. This way, and then this way, and then this way, and this way, and then this way, and then this way, and then this way. I hate that. I want to sit down. I don't like them to sit at my table and say, hi, I'm Stacy, and I'm your waitress today. I don't want to be the own first name names with them either. But I want them to come to me. I'm not much on patience, not much on theme parks. If I have to wait too long, I will just walk away. But I want you to know, God uses trouble in our life to perfect us. Now, what trouble do you have? You have some trouble at work. You have some trouble, some physical sickness. You have some financial trouble. you have some trouble in your family. What trouble do you have? Allow God to use your trouble to direct you, to motivate you to inspect yourself, to correct you, to protect you, and to perfect you. Now, I want to finish, and I want you to turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 encourages us that we have no cause for fear, no dread of harm when trouble comes our way. We're the children of God. For those who place their trust and their faith in the Lord, He is our shelter. He's our shadow over us. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our cover. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our dwelling place. Our main text will be verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. If you mark in your Bible, you should mark that verse. But this psalm has meant so much to me in my trouble. And we'll see these statements that I just made. And let's back up to verse 1 and let's read. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. How does God respond to those who trust Him in times of trouble? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. 7 promises given to us in this passage. Don't panic. I'll cover them quickly. Notice 1, He will deliver us. Verse 14, therefore will I deliver him. 2, He will protect him. Verse 14, I will set him on high. 3, He will answer him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Verse 15. 4, He will be with him. Verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. You know, when I'm in trouble, I know He's there by my side. 5, I will rescue him. Verse 15, I will deliver him. 6, I will honor him. Verse 15, and honor him. 7, I will show him my salvation. Verse 16, and show him my salvation. He delivers us. He protects us. He answers him. He is with us. He rescues us. He honors us. And He shows us deliverance and salvation. We need nothing more. We need nothing less. We need nothing else but God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Bring your troubles to your God. Stand with me. Lord, we are grateful for your word. The words I've shared today are not my words. It's not the words of someone with the power of positive thinking. It's the word of God that makes a difference in our lives. As we see pestilence and we see pandemonium, we see plagues, the earthquakes and the hurricanes and wars and rumors of wars and just the heartaches. And although we may be here this morning, but not 60, 70 miles from where we stand is Waverly, Tennessee, that people are full of trouble. And although we may not have trouble, we may soon be entering into a storm or in the midst of a storm or perhaps exiting a storm. Lord, remind us that you know that we are frail. And that God, you are our great high priest that fills our infirmities. Lord, help us to take our trouble this morning. Perhaps so painful that we cannot even bear to share as a prayer request. So shameful, so disappointing that we can't mention it without tears flowing down from our eyes. But God, would you use our trouble today to direct us? May we walk your way. Lord, we trust in you. Lord, would you use your trouble today, or our trouble, to help us inspect ourselves and to reveal our hearts and to confess our sin. And Lord, use this trouble to break us and to tender us. Lord, would you use our trouble to correct us, to draw us back to you, to draw nigh to God that you draw nigh to us. God, use this trouble in some way to protect us and certainly to perfect us, to mature us, to be a greater servant of thee. Lord, thank you. You are our shelter. You are the shadow over us. You are our refuge, our fortress, our cover, our shield, our buckler, our dwelling place. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Help us to walk by faith in the midst of our troubles. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to listen carefully. If you're here this morning and say, oh, preacher, I needed the message, for I am indeed dealing with some trouble, would you raise your hand? No one's looking, just me. Yes, God bless. Yes. Yes, I see you. Yes, God bless you. All across the auditorium. Listen to me. God is the problem solver. He knows about our trouble. He wants to use it. We need nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Bring your trouble to God. Bring your burdens and heartaches to Him. As God speaks to your heart right now, step out and come right now. Find a place at the altar and say, God, I come. I bring my trouble to you, Lord. I need you to do something here, Lord. I need you to manifest yourself. Use this trouble in my life. Reveal to me who I am, what's spewing.